Well, we're here to continue the Blessed Life series. How many of you know that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can live the blessed life, but you already are in the blessed life? So today we're going to continue this series as I look forward to in the upcoming weeks as we move forward through the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. So we're still in the Beatitudes. And today, our sermon is called Happiness is N-E-D. You'll understand in a moment. How many of you have heard of the American Heart Association? It reports that heart disease is the number one cause of death in America, claiming more lives than all forms of cancer combined. When it comes to the leading cause of death, I guess you could say that goes to the heart of the matter. Oh, yeah, okay. Every 40 seconds, an American has a heart attack. Heart failure, meaning the heart isn't operating properly, hospitalizes 900,000 annually, or one every 2 minutes. 840,768 deaths per year from heart disease. One in three Americans die of heart disease. One third of all deaths in America are from heart disease. Wow, huh? So what's that tell us? That diseased hearts and blocked arteries, they're a national deadly crippling epidemic in our country. It costs the country billions annually, not counting the untold sorrow that it brings to people and family lives. So the heart is crucial to health. It's crucial to the quality of one's life, even the quantity of one's life. Considering this, one would be wise, wouldn't they, to take care of their heart, right? So our title today is Happiness is N-E-D. When it comes to the heart or to cancer patients, that is what we want to hear. We want to hear from the doctor that we are NED. My father, he just had his 3.5-year CAT scan last week looking for his cancer, and he was told he was NED. Praise the Lord. When you go for a heart scan, you want to hear the same diagnosis. NED is a medical phrase used by doctors to tell the patients there is no evidence of disease. No evidence of disease. So in our next beatitude on the blessed life, Jesus talks about the heart. Not the physical heart, but the spiritual heart. He wants us to have hearts with no spiritual disease. He wants us to be what? Pure in heart. Matthew 5:8, he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This is the first time in the New Testament the word heart is mentioned. And it's mentioned by our Lord right here. It is the word cardia, from which we get the word cardiac. Okay? So from this Greek word, pure, we get the English word catharsis, meaning to purge, meaning to cleanse. The pure in heart is one cleansed of anything that adulterates. It's cleansed of anything that contaminates. It's purged from disease. Are you with me? The Bible uses the word of pure gold this way, meaning gold that is untainted, gold that is unmixed with impurities. So this word pure is what we'll be looking at today. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have a healthy, clean, uncontaminated heart." That's what he's saying here. That is good news, right? No matter how your physical heart is, me, you can have a healthy, clean, pure heart spiritually. Amen? So this morning, let's look at a few things. I want to look at the miracle of this pure heart, the walk of a pure heart, and finally the reward of a pure heart. All right? Can we do that together? Lord, I just thank you this morning that we are here worshiping you. Lord, as we speak on this that you taught so many years ago, as relevant as it is today, I pray, Lord, we sit here and that you examine our heart. Anywhere in us where it might not be clean or what you would have, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. Please wipe that away. Lord, let us give you our undivided attention this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So the miracle of a pure heart. Five times Jesus has said now how blessed or how fortunate are the true citizens of the kingdom of heaven. He's talking to true citizens here. And what he says in the sixth beatitude is astounding. He says, we shall see God. That's astounding. Who has the right to tell you you will see God? God. Jesus has that right. So when he makes that claim, it is enormous. You shall see God. We will look at that wonderful prospect in a moment. But first, let's look at those words, pure in heart. For Jesus to be able to say that citizens of his kingdom have pure hearts, a miracle has to take place first. A miracle has to take place. There is nothing pure, hear me now, nothing clean about the human heart. Outside of the miraculous, transforming mercy and love and grace of Jesus Christ, there is nothing good about a man or woman's heart. Do you believe that? The Bible tells us that God sees the heart. He sees the very mind of man. He knows what's going on in the heart of every man, every woman, every child at all times. And it isn't pretty. It's not good. It isn't pure and clean. The spiritual heart of man is more diseased than any physical heart ever could be. If you took the worst physical heart with all the diseases you could think of and you added it to that heart, it doesn't compare to the spiritual heart of man. The heart is proud, Proverbs 16:5 tells us. It is deceitful, Proverbs 12:20. It is perverse in Proverbs 11:20. Jesus himself tells us it's a pretty dirty place. Listen to him in Matthew 15:19-20. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. Do you think that's all the word has to tell us about the heart? No, it's not. I'm not going to go through all of it, but I want to share a little bit. The word tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Say what? More deceitful than all else? The heart is so bad, it even deceives you. It even can deceive us as well as others. Desperately sick. It is so spiritually cancer-ridden, it is terminal. It is terminal. Who can understand it? The Bible says. The depths to which the evil heart can take people is beyond belief. We can just look in our culture and see, oh my word, look at the physical things that can happen, let alone what's going on in the inside of a man's heart. The depths to which the evil heart can go. And who is not in hot tears lamented? I have the stupidity and the fallout of the sins that we may have committed in our past or in our present. How could I have done that? How could I have thought that thought? How could my heart be so upset? How could it be so angry? How could I have such unholy thoughts? Job 15:14 says, what is a man that he should be pure? Or he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Proverbs 29 says, who can say I have cleansed my heart? I am pure from sin. Who can say such a thing? The answer? No one in the sight of God can say that. No one in the sight of God can say that. No one can clean their own heart. No one can purify their own heart. But God can. God can clean and purify hearts. Amen? Acts 15, 8 through 9 says, "And God, who knows the heart, testified that to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He also did to us. And He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith." It is God who cleanses hearts. God is in the heart cleaning business. God is in the heart healing business. And it is Him and His power alone that can cleanse hearts. Listen to John 13, 10 and 15, 3. Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." That was Judas. In verse 3 of chapter 15, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." This word "clean" here is the same word "pure" in Matthew 5:8. Same word. In Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27, listen to what God said to Israel. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." What God says here to Israel, what He will do to Israel one day, He does that with any individual who humbly comes to Him in repentance, seeking the forgiveness of their sins. Isn't that beautiful? When we are given the perfect purity of Jesus, His righteousness, we are clean. And the fact is, we are given His perfect purity, His perfect righteousness. You all know 2 Corinthians 5:21, an amazing, amazing statement. "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf." Jesus became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. What a wonderful statement and truth. We must understand that there is a positional purity in your salvation. An imputed purity we are given the moment we trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. David prayed this in Psalm 51, 2, 7, and 10. He said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." David's prayer here, while of a believer who has sinned, for sure, is also answered perfectly for all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus for their initial salvation. "Create in me a new heart, Lord. Forgive me of my sin." Wow. "As they are not washed with hyssop, are they? But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." In 1 Peter 1:19. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been washed by the blood and you're positionally clean. Amen? You have a new nature within you. You have a new heart that positionally before God is pure, that before God is white as snow. And we should say, "Blessed am I. Blessed are you, the pure. Blessed are you, the clean in heart. Blessed are you who have come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." Because that took a miracle. How many of you know that you're a miracle? Give Jesus a hand. So we see the miracle of a pure heart. Let's look at the walk of a pure heart. Now it's going to change a little bit, okay? There is no walk of a pure heart until there has first been the wonder or the miracle of a new heart through the new birth of salvation. Okay? With the new birth, we have a positional or imputed purity by the mercy and grace of God Himself. But there is this practical, relative purity that we must pursue by the grace of God in this life. Positionally, you're righteous and pure before God, but practically in this life, you must still pursue purity. Psalm 73:1, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. It's not perfection. This isn't perfection that we're talking about. It's purity. The desire in a man's heart with a renewed heart to walk purely before his Lord. It is that desire to walk and live a holy life, a separated life, as God's called us to be separate, as God's called us to be His children, to live holy, following after Him. It's the direction of your heart. What is the direction of your heart? Jesus was referring here also to Psalm 24, 3-4, or Psalm 15, 1 and 2, where it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and who has not sworn deceitfully. You see, the walk of the pure heart is a walk of integrity. It is a walk of righteousness. Remember what we said? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, what are you hungering and thirsting for? To live right, to do right, to do what's right in the sight of God at all times. So it's a walk of integrity and righteousness and honesty before God. How many of you get to do that 100% all the time? Who gets to check that box all the time? No, we're talking about a walk, a desire, a lifestyle. A walk in which hypocrisy and deception and moral filth cannot exist with a sincere heart devotion to Christ. If I have a sincere heart devotion to Christ, then moral filth cannot coexist with that in my life, is what Jesus is saying. We've shown you this before about the Pharisees. Who's he speaking to in that day? The Pharisees and the scribes, they were an example of those with no real inner heart of purity, yet outwardly they had something. They had external piety and ceremonial cleanliness. 14 times Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites. 14 times. Remember, be gentle. Jesus was gentle in how he said it. Hypocrite. You hypocrite. He still spoke the truth. He called it out for what it was. They did not have pure, clean hearts or devotion to God. Proverbs 30:12 tells us this. There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's coming from the Son of God. Wow. Looks good on the outside, but the inside is filthy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Do we see why he would say this? They were all about cleaning the outside while the inside was dirty, full of uncleanliness. In fact, think about what Jesus said. Rotten as a tomb. A clean tomb on the outside, but you look like the death inside. The pure in heart, however, do something different. They seek. That's a key word. They seek to walk in such a way as to sincerely please God from the heart, from the inside out. You with me? From the inside out. Jesus said the Pharisees were about, in Matthew 6:1, practicing their religion before men to be noticed by them. They had the wrong motives. They wanted to be noticed by man. But the pure in heart want the approval of God. That's one of your checkoff lists. Whose approval do you want? I want the Lord's approval in my life. So knowing that Matthew 6:4, 6, and 18, he sees what is done in what? Secret. We can't fool the Lord, can we? They make the person who seeks this purity makes every effort to have their inward life, their secret life, their private life. They try to live it just as sincerely devoted to the Lord as their public life, as their church life. Everything they do in private is just as important as what they would do here. It just hit me. Who would stand up right here and say all type of filthy language? Huh? No, why? Your brothers and sisters would see it, so how are we in private? Who here is going to turn on their radio with all the sex, all the drugs, all the suicide, all the junk, and say, hey, everybody, let's jam to this song. No, but you will. Will you in private? What are we watching? Would you watch some of the shows you watch? Hey, guys, let's all get together for church and let's watch Naked and Afraid. Discovery Channel, crazy shows like that. That's the key. We have to care just as much in private as we do in public. How many of you know that that's all that matters? Pleasing God. Do we want to please the Lord in all we do? Pleasing God. Having the approval of heaven, not the approval of man. For example, being clean on the outside, Jesus further taught, according to the law, when it comes to murdering somebody, must also mean the pure heart must be clean against anger and bitterness towards someone else. Matthew 6. Or being clean is avoiding that adultery on the outside. It must also mean to be pure and avoiding that lust and that adultery in the heart. The walk of the pure in heart, is not one of conscience hypocrisy. A conscious hypocrisy. A knowing spirit. A knowing and willingness to engage in sin. The pure in heart are concerned about the dirt of sin in their lives and seek greater spiritual cleanliness. Listen to this word. What do they seek it from? From a pure heart. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love, and pursue peace. You can just put that pursue right there all along the way. With those who call on the Lord, where? From a pure heart. Listen, my friends, run away. When God says flee, don't hesitate. That's what gets you in trouble. Don't hesitate. The pure in heart continually flee what is unclean, and they want to have this desire to pursue what is clean. We're going to see later on in this series that you may be persecuted for having this type of desire. Even from within the church, you will be persecuted, maybe. You may be even persecuted within your own family, maybe. When you seek to say, I don't want to do anything with sin in my life. I don't want to have anywhere where sin has rule in my life. And I don't want to participate with anything sinful in my life. Others will not like that. But who are you aiming to please? Please the Lord, right? But you will be pleasing Him. Listen to 1 John 3:3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. We're getting to see this theme throughout God's Word, aren't we? When we are going to come back to these verses in a moment. But let's just see something here, focus on something here in verse 3. The very fact that one day we will be perfectly purified does not mean that we can allow ourselves to become deliberately, morally dirty in the meantime. That's a concept that goes on in Christianity today. Just because one day I will be perfectly pure doesn't mean I can deliberately wallow in impurity now. Purifies himself, the verse says, or keeps on purifying himself, which leads us to believe we're going to need to keep this up because we still live with a what? Sinful nature. The pure in heart are constantly engaged in this cleansing process. Each and every day, this is something the pure in heart are engaged in. Remember, the gold standard is Jesus Christ, right? It says right here, just as who is pure? Just as He is pure. Just as we saw last week that God is the gold standard to mercy. How much mercy do you show? Just as your Father in heaven shows you mercy, be merciful. Jesus Christ is the standard. So here's the truth that you must ask yourself. Here's the truth. The pure in heart, a true believer, they find sin intolerable and inexcusable in light of their new nature and irreconcilable with the will and the character of Jesus Christ. Sin is intolerable, irreconcilable with Jesus' character. It is inexcusable to live with. Though we may commit it, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us when we have real hearts of repentance. Praise God for that mercy we saw last week. But it's that heart that, blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Do you mourn over sin? The pure in heart seek that forgiveness from the Lord and grieve over sin so that they can be the light of the world, so that they can shine. The pure in heart cannot live comfortable with sin and hypocrisy. And I have to, every week when I look at this, I have to ask myself, where is there hypocrisy living in me? What sin is being tolerated in my life? How in tune am I, Lord, to your Spirit? Am I comfortable with grading sin on a curve? Well, it's not so bad. Well, they only show that they're going to sleep together, but they don't really show it. They only have lyrics that are not too bad. The shows I'm watching, the things I'm reading, the things I'm jealous over or lusting after. Remember how deceitful the heart is. It can even deceive us. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Don't be comfortable with any sin, and blessed are you. David, as we saw earlier, he could not live with sin. And what did he do? He pleaded with God to cleanse him in Psalm 51. He sought to keep his heart pure in Psalm 73:13. He sought to keep his way pure and keeping God's word in Psalm 119:9. The truly pure in heart will seek by the Spirit's power to live purely in this life. Where this is not the case, listen to me, where this is not the case in your life, don't be deceived. You are either not saved or you're living in disobedience to the Lord, waiting for the chastening hand of God. Those are hard words to say in the pulpit today. But we must not fool ourselves into thinking we're saved when we don't show any qualities of what Jesus says is a real believer. We're not perfect and we're in need of forgiveness, but there must not be absent in our life these qualities. Let's pray that's not us here today. But I love the fact that even in my salvation, when I fail, when I fall, when I don't measure up, that Jesus is quick to forgive me when I'm repentant. Amen? So next we will see, there's the walk of the pure heart, the miracle of the pure heart. Let's look at the reward. This is awesome. They shall see God. Amen? Isn't that the most fantastic thing one could ever imagine? That you'll see God one day? Think about it. Fans, they mob one another just to hope to see a famous rock star or a famous movie star. They will flock to that. People line up for miles just to get a glimpse of a visiting president. All of them are just mere men and women. They're just mere mortals. But think for a moment that one day you'll see God. That you will see the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, your Creator, your Savior. Wow. If that doesn't light your fire, you got to check your spiritual pulse. Right on? Everybody want to get up and get jiggy with it? I mean, come on. Are you excited to see God one day? All right. That's no laughing matter. That is a massive statement from Jesus Christ. Jesus will later reveal that to see Him is to see the Father, John 14:9. 1 John 3:1-3, listen to this. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. There it is. There it is. We will see Him. See how great it says in verse 1, a greater love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. And I love this, Nancy, and such we are. I'm a child of God. You shall be called a child of God, and such we are. And such we are. If you can say that, you are blessed. What a wonder. There it goes back to that miracle of His mercy and grace, that you went from death to life, that you became a child of God. It says, it has not appeared as yet what we will be. What will you be? When you look at a little acorn, can you see that mighty oak? When you look at that scrawny, fuzzy, little ugly eaglet, can you see that magnificent eagle soaring with great wings on the air currents? When you look at that little caterpillar, can you see that one day it will have beautiful, multicolored wings and make its home on the flowers? So it is with the change that is coming to us. I cannot yet see what that will be, but I know what it will be. It will be perfect. It will be awesome. It will be wonderful. It says we know. That's the question. Do you know? Do you know? That's the question all men must answer. that one day we will be like him. Don't get that phrase wrong. Not equal to him. Amen. But like him. What a wonder. What a wonder. But look at this wonder. One day we will see him. Revelation 22:4. We will see his face. We can say, what a wonder. Everyone say, what a wonder. What a hope we have for the child of God. The best for you is yet to come. What a wonder. Oh my. Oh my. But you know what? Here's the blessing. Remember, we said something about the Beatitudes. They have an eternal truth and a temporal one. This is not just a promise for the life to come. The word see here is translated in other places as perceive. It is also has the figurative meaning to experience. Remember Hebrews 11:5, where Enoch did not see death. It meant he did not experience death. The promise of Jesus that the pure in heart shall see God tells us something about the pure in heart, doesn't it? Did you hear me there? The pure in heart want to see God. It tells you something about the pure in heart. They want to see God. How much do you want to see God? That is the desire of the pure in heart. There is a devotion to Him and a pursuit of God from the heart that will be met with a deeper and deeper perception and experience with God on this earth. You can see God now. Because you can experience Him now. You will see Him literally face to face one day. But you can see Him and experience Him now in your life. Amen? A real experiential relationship with the Lord right now. Do you remember Paul's prayer for the Ephesians was that they might know God better? Ephesians 1:17. This is God's desire for all of us. That we might know Him better. That we might have a living experience with Him and know His presence and know His power in our life as we submit to His purpose, as we yield to His leading in this wonderful relationship we have with Him. Remember our Nehemiah series? Nehemiah was a man of pure devotion to God, and he prayed to Nehemiah 1:4, the God of heaven. And God answered his prayer in an amazing way. And Nehemiah described it this way. The good hand of my God was on me. Nehemiah 1:8. Isn't that what we want in our life? The good hand of the Lord is on me. To see and experience the good hand of God working in us and working through us. Amen. But it all starts with the heart. Proverbs 14:23 says, guard your heart, watch over your heart. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The NIV says, everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. So we must participate with the leading of the Holy Spirit to not allow it to become unhealthy by disease of sin and divided loyalty. When's the last time you took a spiritual heart scan of your heart and found no evidence of disease? No evidence of disease. As I close today, let me share with you a few steps you can take to receive that diagnosis. First, set your heart to seek God. Set your heart to seek God. Psalm 27:8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. God says, seek me. Does your heart respond? Your face, O Lord, I will seek. In 105:4, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. You can see this again in 2 Chronicles 11:16 or Deuteronomy 1:29. Set your heart to seek God. Next, set your heart to study the Word. Let me just share with you one area, Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had what? Set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it. He set his heart. He made an intentional decision in his heart that he was going to set his heart to study the Word and practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. I cannot tell you that one of the greatest areas for impurity to enter your heart is to have a void life of God's Word. When we're not daily feeding on the Word of God, we struggle. It is what Pastor Paul said a couple years ago on Wednesday night service. It is the language of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Amen. Set your heart to study it. And in that study, you will walk closer and closer to the Lord. Next, ask God to search your heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way, the everlasting way. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and test my what? My heart. Ask God to search your heart, and He will be faithful. That is a prayer God will answer to the positive. He will show you those areas in your life. Next, ask God to cleanse and create in you a clean heart. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And then ask God to unite your heart. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. The NIV gives the word undivided heart. Don't let me have an undivided heart. Pray that God gives us unified hearts in pleasing Him and not divided ones with divided loyalties. Divisions for love of the world, to love of the sins of the flesh, and then the love of the Lord, but to unite my heart in one sole purpose, to please you and pursue you, Lord. See, these beatitudes are like mirrors. They are the characteristics of true believers whose hearts have been changed. As I look at them, I must ask myself, do I see myself? Do I see me? And that is a good question, because that's when you start letting the Holy Spirit lead. Praise Team. Proverbs 27:19 says this, as in water face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. What is your reflection? What is your reflection today? Are you that city on a shining hill whose heart is pure, who seeks to have a pure heart before God? Are you living your life where I want to please Christ in each and every way of my life? Here's a wonderful promise. This promise has unlimited potential. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. That's unlimited potential that God can use and work and flow in your life. And I believe even today, God is still looking, who will say, I will be that person. I will be that person. Here I am, Lord. Cleanse my heart. Make it pure after you. My friends, spiritual happiness is NED, no evidence of spiritual disease. Isn't that beautiful? But praise God for our positional righteousness, that at salvation we are pure before Him. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He can come into your life, cleanse you from all your sins. He paid the very price for every sin you've ever committed. And He says, I love you. I died for you. I'm alive and rose from the dead, and I'm here right now to cleanse you. Not with hyssop, but with my blood. I want to make you my child. And He says, come unto me, and you can have salvation. He can transform your life. If you don't know Him, I ask you to come forward today and let me share that. And to the rest of us, if you want to step out and say, I want to be that person, feel free to come forward. Feel free to make that commitment right there in your pew. Please stand and let's sing.